Think about this verse. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And like I say, a lot of this to me just seems like repetitive, but I tell you, we've dealt with this, and God just keeps laying on my heart. There's either something you're not getting, something I'm not getting, or something we're not getting, amen? But the Bible's the Bible. It's always good. And I think it's good to look at these verses and really try to dig in and remember what God's really saying to us. And here Paul is trying to tell folks how to live for Jesus Christ. And in verse number 1, we see his plea. He says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He's crying out to brethren. He's calling out to save folks. He's begging. That plea is a begging of saved people. Listen to me, he says. And Paul was able to say that with some authority and conviction because Paul had been through some things that a lot of folks couldn't even imagine going through. And Paul was able to, by the power of God and the strength of God, to not only stay in the battle, but to grow closer to Jesus Christ through the things that God had brought him through. So he's begging brothers in Christ, he's begging sisters in Christ, he's pleading with them to present their bodies a living sacrifice, give it to Jesus Christ. He was able to say that, and he was able to connect with people on a level that other folks may not have been able to connect with them on, because Paul had walked the walk, talked the talk, lived the life, suffered the sufferings, and come through with the victory that the other folks were just hoping they could have in Paul's situation. So he pled with them. And we see the plea. And in verse 2 it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Here's the proving. And that's proving that God's in your life. It proves that God's in your life. It proves the Holy Spirit indwells you. It proves you're saved. You're blood-bought, born again. And that's so important because the world needs to see something different. The world needs to see something real. The world is scrambling to find something they can hang on to. The world needs to see truth. And they're not going to see it in Washington. They're not going to find it on Fox News. They're not going to find it on CNN or ABC or CBS or YouTube. They're going to find truth in born-again believers. They're going to find truth because a person decided to give themselves to Jesus Christ, live for Jesus Christ, walk the walk he wanted to walk, talk the talk he wanted them to talk, live the way he, act and react the way he expected them to live, and they're going to see something different, and they're going to see what they need in you if you submit to him. Amen. Well, the world just doesn't want Jesus Christ. The world's confused about who Jesus Christ is. The world has no idea who Jesus Christ really is. They have an idea in their mind, in their heart. They're so confused because this church says he's that, and this church says he's that, and this group says he's this, and this group says he's that, and they're confused. They need somebody to show them through their actions who Jesus Christ is. Now look, I'm not about just lifestyle evangelism. We've got to give them the Word of God. This Bible is important. It's of utmost importance to reaching people. But it's of utmost importance for you to be reached. For this Word of God to get a hold of you and to get a hold of me. And for us to submit to it so this world can see Jesus Christ for who he really is. And through the who the Jehovah's Witness say he is, and who the Mormons say he is, and who the Catholics say he is, and who the Methodists say he is, who the Presbyterians and some Baptists say he is. It's how about who God says he is? Oh, he is worthy, he is worthy, he is worthy. We talk about that, and he is worthy. But do we live a life that proves he is worthy? Paul's pleading with him, lay your body down, lay that flesh down, give your hands to the Lord, give your eyes to the Lord, give your ears to the Lord, give your feet to the Lord, give everything you have to Jesus Christ and let him use it and prove to a world that he is real when they can see him through you and through me. The proud in verse number 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. He's saying, look, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but think soberly. Soberly is to think right-minded, to think Christ-minded, to think Bible-minded, and anything else is to think drunkenly. What he's saying, if you think highly of yourself when you ought not, you're out of your mind. Amen. Well, we're not thinking soberly. We're not right-minded about ourselves. We're just like the drunkard. Our mind has been perverted with self instead of booze. And it's just as wicked. Amen. So he's telling them, don't be proud. And in the last part of this verse, he reminds them, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. What it boils down to is God give you the faith to even put back into him. Amen. I'm not turning Calvinist, don't get me wrong. Some people take that faith and put it in the wrong thing. But if you put faith in Jesus Christ, God allowed you to see that. God allowed you that conviction. God allowed you that opportunity. And there's nothing special about you because you made the right decision. There's nothing special about us because we made the right decision. It's all him. The plea, the proving, the proud, the program. In verses 4 and 5, he goes down through this list. He talks about being many members in one body and all members not having the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ and everyone members one of another. He talks about that program. And that program is working together to glorify him. And that's the purpose of the New Testament church, is to work together to glorify him. And working together to glorify him is not all about street preaching. It's not all about telling people about the Lord all the time. It's not all about tracts being handed out. It's not all about the jail ministry. It's not all about the nursing home ministry. It's about ministering one to another in the house of God. Amen, amen, and amen. It's about so much more than reaching lost people. And I said it before this morning in Sunday school, and I'll say it again. As Baptists, we get caught up in programs to the point where we don't even know the Holy Spirit of God half the time. We're following us and what we do because, by golly, that's what we do. That's what we've always done. Instead of saying, Lord, what would you have us to do? Amen. Being led by the Spirit is a good thing. Amen. Being filled by the Spirit is a good thing. And Paul's begging brothers in Christ, begging sisters in Christ to understand it's not about tradition. It's not about our programs or our ideas of what we should be doing, or the Baptists down here are doing that, or the Presbyterians or the Pentecostals are doing this, or the whatever is doing whatever. It's about what God calls us to do. We don't have to be the exact same way the church down the road is. Amen. And praise the Lord, we shouldn't be. This is God's. And we need to let Him guide this ship through whatever storms He decides to take us through. This is His. Amen. And we need to pray for each other and to help each other and be a blessing to each other. And I ask for your prayer because God has put me in a position to try to help guide this ship. Amen, amen, and amen. But it's Him. And that's what Paul's telling them. You know, and God gives us different gifts. We all should have a little bit of some gifts. Everybody in here, if you've been saved over 10 minutes, you ought to have a little bit of encouragement in you for somebody because you just got saved, amen? But there are some people that are just encouraging. And God blesses them to be encouraging, more so than others. There are some people that are just blessed with giving of any account. It could be finances, it could be encouragement, it could be shedding a tear with them, it could be any number of things that God would say is giving. Might be your time. And some people are better at teaching, preaching, whatever it may be. But there's no one important part of the body except the head. And Jesus Christ is the head. The rest of us are just supposed to be doing what the head tells us to do. It doesn't matter if you're a little toe or a thumb. Amen? We're just supposed to be doing what the head tells us to do. And you'll find out, if you haven't done it yet, you probably find out one day soon, that when you stub your little toe, it becomes more important than your thumb. Amen? And it starts to draw attention away from the thumb. And you know what the thumb will do? The thumb will say, hey, little toe, I'll help you out. You can't do what you were doing yesterday. Amen? Because we're all in this thing together, and God is the head. The plea, the proving, the proud, the program, the portioning, verse 6 and 8, it talks again about the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. It's all Him, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. It talks about the proportioning. It talks about the fact that God is the one that gives us each the gifts. And if you have a gift from God, praise God for it, but don't get caught up in the gift. Get caught up in the giver of the gift. And you know what will happen? He'll bless that gift. And He'll grow that gift. Might even give you another gift. And He'll use that gift. Obviously, and I shouldn't even have to say this, my gift is not in music, amen? I'm doing good to play the radio. Praise the Lord, He makes it simple. Oh, Joshua can play the banjo, the guitar, and ukulele. He can pick it up, he's got strings on it, he can play it. Praise the Lord. Even a piano, it's a gift. But it's not his, it's God's, and God gave it to him. And your gift, there's a lot of people in here that have a gift of praying for each other, loving each other, caring for each other. That's a gift, by the way. That didn't come naturally. That's a gift from God. Because naturally, we'd just be beating each other in the head, taking stuff from each other. Amen. But because there is a God and He lives in you, He's given you the gift of being able to love other people that are like-minded. And even sometimes like them. Most of the time, amen. It's a gift. God's good to us. the proportioning of the gift. There's no reason to gloat, no reason to pat yourself on the back, no reason to say, well, you know, look at me, look at me, look at me. Because he gives us the gift so we can say, look at him, look at him, look at him. And one terrible, terrible, tragic thing would be that if we allowed the gift to overcome us and we worship the gift and God take it away from us because we're not using it for him. We're using it for us. That's why Paul says, look, folks, let's get this in line. Just submit yourself to Jesus Christ. Give your body to him. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I'm yours. I belong to you. And anything that you allow me to do, you have given me the ability to do it. And praise your name for it. Help me to do it to the best of my ability. Help me to submit to you, turn it over to you, let you work through me, and glorify you with whatever you give me to do. Amen? Paul's talking to saved people, trying to get them to do what God wants them to do. Isn't that something? You would think we'd automatically go, well, I'm saved, let's do what God wants to do. And Paul would be preaching this to lost people. But he's preaching it to saved folks. And he's doing it for a reason. Because we are so wound up in this world. We are so caught up and so influenced by the things of this world that sometimes we have to be reminded that we belong to Jesus Christ. And sometimes we have to be reminded that he is God. That he created this whole thing. He knows what's going on. He's not surprised by anything. He loves you. He wants to use you. He wants to bless you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to help you encourage yourself in him. He wants to give you something from this book on a daily basis. Maybe not just daily, maybe every time you think about it. Maybe you ought to just open the book up and see what he's got for you. You ever done that? You ever went through a day and say, man, Lord laid a scripture on my heart. Where is that scripture? Hey, go to the concordance and looking through the words. I can't find that scripture. And you read through here and you're, wow. Never seen that before. Then you flip over, wow, never seen that before. You may not even get to the scripture you first thought of. And God's just feeding your soul because you're obedient to that small voice, that still small voice. And he says, hey, I'm going to lay something on your heart that's going to take you down a road you weren't expecting today. And all of a sudden, the birds of joy are singing in your heart again because of that still small voice and you submitted to it. And seeing what God has for you. I'm excited because I want to see what God has for us. If he doesn't call us out here this week, which I wouldn't be surprised if he does, I'm excited to see what he has for us. Amen. He's been good to us so far. Better than we deserve so far. You know what I expect tomorrow? Same thing. Next week, same thing. If Joe Biden gets elected, God's still good. Amen. I don't want him to, but maybe that's God's will. Maybe God's will is, you know what? I still can't get your attention. How about this? I'll put this guy in there. And if that don't get your attention, I'm just going to call the saved folks out of here. Amen? Praise the Lord. Maybe that's his intentions. God's still good. They come door to door and take our guns. God's still good. And by the way, if they come door to door and take our guns, as much as I hate to say it, I'm giving them to them. I don't want an Apache helicopter outside my house killing my family. Amen. All these guys, bless God, I ain't giving them my guns. Well, if the army shows up at your house, guess what? They're going to take your guns. Well, they'll pry them out of my cold, dead fingers. Well, they'll do that too. They won't care. This is what I don't want them to take. And even if they take it, by the grace of God, I hope there's enough of it in me to keep me going. Amen. I hope there's enough of it in us to keep us going. The preferring, verses 9 and 10. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. In honor, preferring one another. The greatest example in the Bible in honor, preferring one another, was not an example made by Peter. It was not an example made by Paul. It was not an example made by David. It was the example Jesus Christ gave. When God himself stepped down into this world and cared about you and cared about me. When he walked with his disciples and apostles to teach them, to give them wisdom and knowledge of Him, so the church could be developed and grow into what it is today. Amen. I mean the real church. What it is today for you and me. But not only walking with Him, but when Jesus Christ Himself knelt down and washed their feet. Isn't that something? You know what gets me? Not about just us, but about me, us, this us, we. What gets me about us is how can God Himself, perfect God, come down here and humble Himself to imperfect creations of His own? And we can't do it with one another. The greatest example in the Bible of humility was Jesus Christ on this earth. And we're supposed to be Christ-like. I like the way one preacher put it. If they took you to court and accused you of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That's something we all need to think about. Would there be? Or are we just so worried about what everybody else is thinking, we're just going with the flow? The old boy said a dead fish can go with the flow. Amen. Just stinking things up going down the river. But it takes some effort to go against the flow. Amen. The preferring, the performing in 11 through 21, we won't read them all for the sake of time, but you go down through these verses, it talks about not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. He talks about all these things. It's the performing of what God has called us to do, performing of our calling. And the performing of our calling is to glorify Him, and it's to do it through the gifts that He's given us. And like I say, some gifts He give all of His children. Relax. I'm not talking about tongues and healing, and I'm not going to put a Benny Hinn suit on next week. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about gifts that God give men, the gifts that we all share, the ability to pray for each other, the ability to love that we didn't have before Jesus Christ. The ability to be long-suffering. That's one that we may not have as well as God thinks we should. Well, I'll tell you what, you look at the Lord and what He puts up with us and what it takes to get us crossways with a brother or sister in Christ, we don't have that gift perfected at all, amen? But God gives us these gifts, and the way to perform our calling, He tells us in these verses. He tells us what to do, what to be like, how to act, how to react. Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. We like to leave that saith the Lord part off sometimes, I think. Or like one preacher said, vengeance is fine, saith the Lord. No, it's fine when He does it. You ever really get somebody crossways? I mean, you got, boy, they rubbed you the wrong way. You're upset, and you just let it go, and the next thing you know, 2 weeks later, it's done, it's gone, nobody's even thinking about it anymore. You know why that's able to happen? Because we don't try to exact vengeance on somebody, and God blesses it and fixes it. Amen. And if He wants to punish them, He'll punish them. But you know, oftentimes when I get crossways with anybody over the years that I've been saved, I find out that if my heart's not right, God's going to work me over anyway. I might as well just save the trouble going through it with Him and them. Amen? Because He already worked me over when I thought about it. Man, I just said, if I had my way, God said, if you had your way, you'd be burning in hell. Amen? Amen? The performing of that which He's called us to perform, the patience. Jump back to verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Patience. Well, that's something we deal with. It's really a struggle. Patience for a Christian is just praying, trusting in the Lord right now, and waiting for Him in the new future, the near future, to come back and get us out of here. That's patience. That's the only way we're going to have patience. Just pray, trust Him, and know He's coming to get us. Amen? Know He's coming to get us. I mean, oftentimes we do find ourselves, and we're begging God, Lord, please come and get us. I can't wait for the rapture. The Lord's like, wait, it's not about your timing, it's about my timing. Oh, the world's a wicked place, Lord, and it is a wicked place. It's always been a wicked place, and until the Lord straightens this out, it always will be a wicked place. Donald Trump's not going to make it a less wicked place. Joe Biden's not going to make it a less wicked place. Good night. I'm telling you, no man's going to make it less wicked. Man's caused all the problems from day one. But Jesus Christ is the only one that's going to fix it. So the world's a wicked place. It's always been wicked. The only difference is now you can't hide from it. Because it used to be some shame and embarrassment about being wicked. Now they flaunt it. Not only do they flaunt it, they try to demand and make laws to make you accept it and appreciate it. Obey the laws of the land. I'm going to tell you what, there are some laws of this land that are wrong. Period. And Daniel found wrong laws and he said, I'm not obeying them. Amen, amen, and amen. To bow down and worship sodomites is wrong. I don't care what music you're playing when you listen to it. Just like Daniel, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's wrong. To accept abortion is, well, it's just the way it is, and you know the woman's rights. No, that's wrong. How about God's right? He has a right to make His decision who comes into this world and who goes out. You got doctors and politicians playing God, and it's wrong. And if you're pandering to them, you're wrong. Get on God's side. Stay on God's side. Let Him deal with everything else. Amen. Churches out there, makes me want to puke. Rainbow flags. Oh, everybody's welcome. Might as well turn that place inside out and burn it down like it belongs. That ain't no church. A church is a place where you go to get closer to Jesus Christ, not closer to the devil. Amen. Boy, I am having fun this morning. I was wondering if it was going to happen or not. Now look, I understand that everybody's a sinner. And I understand that some things are just between them and the Lord, and He's the only one that can straighten it out. But we're not going to change our doctrine and our beliefs to match the devil.
Amen.
And we're not going to quit preaching against sin because it's not politically expedient.
Right.
Amen. Amen. And look, I'm going to tell you something. Everybody in here, we've talked about this before, everybody in here knows somebody that's doing one of them sins. One of those sins makes you want to puke. Everybody in here knows somebody. Everybody knows somebody. Doesn't make it right. I love my mom, but if she goes against the Bible, she's wrong. Amen. I love my kids. If they go against the Bible, they're wrong. I'm not changing wrong and right to meet what they're doing. The Bible is still the authority. And when you do what some of these people are doing and coddle these people and tell them it's right, you're part of the problem. I know it's painful to tell people they're wrong when you love them. I know sometimes it is. But that's the truth. If they're wrong, they're wrong. I think God doesn't have the problems we have, because you know what? He doesn't have an issue at all with looking at me and saying, David, you're wrong. He doesn't have a problem at all sticking his finger out of whatever page he's on and saying, whoop, this is you and you're wrong. And I want you to get right because I love you and I want to use you and I want you to glorify me. He doesn't have a problem doing that. Why do we have a problem doing that? What's it about? Oh, God just loves everybody. God's angry with the wicked every day. He hates sin. He died for everybody, but He doesn't just love everything everybody's doing. What He would love is for everybody to get saved and to live right by this book and glorify Him. And when we don't tell people they're wrong, according to the Word of God, we're part of the problem. Amen. Why is the world like it is? Because Christians have turned into pansies. Amen. Well, my nephew or my niece or my mother or my... You go down south and I'll tell you what, it's thick down there. Well, that's the way Grandma always done it. Well, Grandma's wrong. Well, about that? We're not going against Grandma. What's here in the Bible? I don't care what's in the Bible. Grandma always done it. And I'll tell you, you'll get that. I don't care what's in the Bible. Once you hear somebody say, I don't care what's in the Bible, it's over. It's over. You can't help them. God's not going to help them. I don't care what's in the Bible. It's done. Until you start caring about what's in the Bible, it's over. Amen. I've had people tell me, oh, I know you're right, but I just don't. Well, then I don't believe that. It's right there in the Bible. Well, you know. Well, if you don't believe the Bible, there's no hope. There's no help. I don't know what to tell you. You know, I don't want to see you die and go to hell, but that's what the book says. And that's what you deal with when you're witnessing folks that have been religious their whole life. Well, you know, well, the Bible, well, yeah, but the Bible, it's over. They just rejected the truth. There's nothing you can do but pray for them. Nothing you can do. But if we're not giving them the truth, who will? Now look, if Susie thinks she's Steve, and Johnny thinks he's Joanne, and you don't tell them that that's not right, and they die and go to hell, you missed an opportunity. I'm not saying they're going to get saved and get right. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying you missed an opportunity. And I believe we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and he's going to go, yeah, right there, I was going to use you. That, you're going to tell 14 of them, and two of them are going to get saved, but you chickened out. And that blood's on your hands. See, Christianity isn't the walk in the park everybody wants it to be. Christianity's real. It's about real truth. It's about real people. It's about a real hell. It's about a real Savior. And it's about real opportunities that we have. And we, in this house, by the grace of God, we in this church, by His strength, are going to stick with the truth. Love people. Give them the truth. And honestly, if you don't give them the truth, you don't love them. Amen? Could you imagine if God didn't give us the truth? We'd all be burning in hell right now. But for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Because God loved us, He told us the truth. And because He loves us, He continues to do so through the pages of this book when we open it. I don't expect everybody to like the truth. I don't like the truth half the time. But when I get right with it, it sure is good. Amen? Back to verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've talked about this before. This is the battleground. This is the devil's playground. It's your mind. So it's my heart. No, it's not. It's your mind. Because God lives in your heart. All Jesus Christ can do is stay in there and wait for you to submit to Him. And all the devil can do is mess with your mind until it starts affecting your heart. How to have a renewing of the mind. Repent. Amen? Get things right with God. That's the first step. If you're lost, you need to repent and get saved. If you're saved out of God's will, you need to repent and get right. Repent. If you're saved, remember. Remember what He's done for you. That's where we get hung up. Because we don't always remember what He's done for us. You know what would be good to do? I think I'm going to suggest this. You can do it if you want. If you don't want, you're not going to go to hell for not doing it. But I'd suggest this. For a week, maybe every day the rest of your life, write it down tonight, today when you get home. I was going to hell. Jesus Christ saved my soul. And read it every morning, first thing when you get up. And then get in your Bible, get on your knees, and ask God to help you. Because I think we go days on end without really thinking about what He's done for us. Just a thought, you know. It'd help me. I think I'll try it. Remember who He really is. You see, the devil wants to control your mind. He doesn't want to play around, and he wants to control it. And the devil's a prince and power of the air. You wonder why there's so much confusion going on in this world? It doesn't matter what's really going on if you trust in Jesus Christ. You make common sense decisions, do what you can to keep yourself safe. But to get so caught up into this, I mean, I walk through Walmart and I'll turn a corner and somebody will be like, oh! And I feel like I need to go to the vet and get some tags and say, look, I had my rabies shot. Good night. It's all right to have a healthy fear of some things that can hurt you, but to be and live in a state of panic the rest of your life, I'm glad that we're not falling into that. But some people are like, good night. I'd roll my window down and ask somebody directions. They're like, they're on their porch. I'm like, I couldn't spit that far, let alone sneeze on them. Amen. They're walking toward their door like I'm going to drive up on their porch and cough. Relax. Relax. Repent. Remember. Realize. Realize what He's done for us. Relish it. I mean, really, take time to appreciate what He's done for us. That ties right back into that, I was on my way to hell, and Jesus Christ saved my soul. We spend so much time looking at what's not going right that we forget about the perfect thing He done for us. Don't we? Well, this ain't right, and that ain't right. I prayed for this, and it never happened. Hey, you got saved, amen. If He never gave you anything else, it's more than you deserve. If He never gave you anything else, you're still going to heaven, amen. But He does give us more. But we get caught up on the one or two little things that we want that we haven't got yet. The prayer that hasn't been answered the way we want it right now. That He may never answer for us that way. Maybe He already answered it by saying no and we just rejected it. Renewing of the mind, repent, remember, realize, relish the fact that He saved us. Resist. Here's where we have the trouble. It's an electronics problem. Got bad resistors in Baptists, amen. They need to be replaced. We've got to have a renewing of the mind. But resist. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee. So we already decided the devil's playground is your mind and my mind. So if we resist him, he'll flee. That gives us a chance to get a new mind, amen. You're not going to get a new mind if you keep letting the devil play on the slide up there. Amen. He's on the merry-go-round in your head. Amen. He's not going to happen. Resist, resist, resist. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10 real quick. 1 Corinthians 10. See, God knew we had bad resistors. So He gave us this verse. We've read it before. We'll read it again. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And you know that verse is true, because you know when you went down the wrong road, 1 second before you took the wrong step, you were still getting a message from God, hey, you could do this instead. Amen. You could shut that off. You could turn that music off. You could shut your mouth. Boy, that's a good one for us, isn't it? You could not say that. Too late. Can't get that horse back in the barn. Now what do I do? And the Holy Spirit says, I tried to tell you. Keep it shut. But He gives us a way out of every problem we get ourselves into, we have a way out of. And truthfully, honestly, if you're going to be truthful, you know it. You know it, and you come to the fork in the road, and you make the wrong decision. We make the wrong decision. And the Holy Spirit the whole time is saying, don't do that. Amen. You want a new mind? Resist the devil. He'll flee. And do what God's called us to do. Trust Him. Realize that He's the only one that can get you through it anyway, and just trust Him. You know, part of trusting Him is listening to that still small voice and saying, all right, Lord, you give me the way out, I'm taking it. It's like we don't trust Him. You ever been down the road and you get to the fork and God goes, ooh, you go down that road, this is going to happen. And it ain't going to be good. And you go, yeah, I'm going to do it anyway. And you get down there and guess what? It happens just exactly like God told you it was going to do. Because He knows. And then He tells you, and you know, still make the wrong decision. Isn't that something? God is long-suffering. Remove. Remove yourself from situations that will put you in obvious temptations. Now, I don't care if you're 10 minutes or 10 years off the booze bottle, don't hang out at the bar. If you used to do heroin, don't hang around people that mess with that stuff. Stay away from that stuff. Amen? I mean, that's good. Resist. We know we have bad resistors, weak resistors, so remove ourselves from some of that thing. Because you know, eventually, because of this flesh, if you put yourself in enough wrong situations, eventually you're going to lose. Eventually you're going to do it. You've got to stop way before it gets there. You got to stop way before. You got to try to give yourself the best chance that you can give yourself. Somebody likes to gossip, pray for them, stay away from them. Amen? Hold on, we're talking about booze. No, I'm not talking about booze. I'm talking about problems we have. Amen? Because I don't think anybody in here is a drunkard. Amen? I don't think anybody wakes up every morning and says, should I have a beer or shouldn't I not? But I do think born-again believers have trouble with the tongue because the Bible says so. And I've been born again. Have a tongue. Amen? Oh, let's go back to the drunks. Let's go back to the bar stuff. Amen? It's a lot more fun. But the truth is, we need to resist. We need to remove ourselves from situations. You know what the best thing you can do with... A preacher told me a long time ago, and this is a preacher, I don't agree with a lot of stuff he said, but this really helped me. He said, when you say something you shouldn't say, this is just a message. He wasn't talking to me personally, but God was. When you say something you shouldn't say, it hurts you, it hurts them, and it hurts other people. But when you say, I'm not going to talk about that, I'm not going down that road in front of them, it actually helps them, it helps you, and it protects other people. Amen? I don't have anybody in mind but me because I know how my tongue can be. I'm just saying. That helped me. It's not just you and them, it's people too. Repent, remember, realize, relish the fact you're saved, resist the devil, he'll flee, remove yourself from situations where obvious temptations are going to pop up. Relinquish. Goes back to verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Relinquish rights to yourself. Give yourself to Jesus Christ. He said, I belong to you. My feet, my hands, my eyes, my ears, my mouth. You know, he said, your body, a living sacrifice. Because your body will take you to the wrong place. Your body will get doing the wrong things. Your body will look at the wrong things. Your body will hear the wrong things. Your body will say the wrong things. So he says, just give it to Jesus Christ. Put it on the altar and say, Lord, here I am. I'm putting me on the altar. I didn't have 25 extra bucks, but I got something that I think you can use. It's me. I don't have any right to me anymore. You do. I'm yours. Relinquish all rights to self. You're bought with a price. Think about rewards. Now, I'm not talking about thinking about them in a selfish way. Well, I'm going to get some rewards when I get to heaven. Think about having something to lay back at Jesus' feet. I mean, after all he's done for us, and for us to get there and be empty-handed, what a terrible thing. Colossians 3:2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. When a trial comes, when trouble comes, when a situation develops, when you don't know how to act or react, and you're just, sometimes it's just good to say, I'm not doing anything right now because I don't know what to do. 99.9% of the time, that's what you should do, is nothing. But then, think about how it's going to affect, or could affect eternity. I have people drive by all the time out front. They don't wave with all their fingers, let's put it that way. Now, I don't want to do that back to them, but every once in a while, if I'm not in the right mood, I think, boy, I could just slap that guy silly. I'm being honest. You probably never thought like that because y'all are super spiritual. But I have days where I'm not that spiritual, and even though I'm doing what I probably should be doing, I don't feel like I should when I'm doing it sometimes. But then I think, you know, eternally, that guy's going to burn in hell if he doesn't trust Jesus Christ. And what he's doing to me, I probably deserve worse than that anyway. Whatever. But think on eternity. What a blessing for us to be able to have an impact on eternal things because of him, because of the opportunities he gives us. See, not reacting wrong to the guy out there in the car is an opportunity he gives us. Amen. We just think about, well, he's going to let us in the nursing home, he's going to let us do that, he's going to let us stand out of track. No, he gives you an opportunity to do right in all situations. That's a blessing from the Lord. Amen. Is this helping at all? Does this seem like maybe it could apply to maybe somebody in here? Anybody? But it helps us to think eternally. Repent, remember, realize, relish, resist, remove, relinquish, rewards. Here's the most important one, probably. It is the most important one. If we're going to have a renewing of the mind, we're going to have to learn how to rely on Him and His strength. My strength will get me in trouble out there on that sidewalk. His strength will keep me out. Out of trouble and in His will. My strength does the exact opposite. It'll get me out of His will and in trouble. Relying on Jesus Christ. Remove. We'll go back to remove for just a second. I promise I'm almost done. You'll be out here by 2 o'clock. If you walk fast. Remove. And I think the Lord, the whole message is bringing it to this point right here. Remove yourself from the garbage of this world for a while. We talked about resting the other day. We talked about resting in Christ. It's all right to say, Lord, I need to rest. It's all right to not do anything. It's all right. I even told you, I'm your pastor. Don't hand out any tracts today. Just go get with the Lord. Pray. Read your Bible. Ask Him to help you. Don't do anything else. He can get somebody else to do that today. You need Him today. Develop your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But if you're going to do that, you're going to have to remove yourself from some stuff. And look, I know it's like kicking a dead horse, but here's the horse again, right out in front of us. We're going to kick it. Facebook. Instagram. All that junk. Fox News. Sean Hannity. What's that guy? Limbaugh. Mark Levin. All these guys. Why in the world would you put your faith? Look, 99% of these people are lost on their way to hell, couldn't find Jesus with a telescope. And you're going to decide how to live your life and what to take in and what to let out and what to, how to feel off a lost person's show? When you have a Bible and the author and finisher of your faith you can go to instead? Shut it all off and get with Jesus Christ and have a renewing of the mind. And that's not a one-time thing, because this world is constantly, the devil is constantly attacking our minds. Now look, I'm not God, and believe me, I'm not going down the COVID trail here. I know that there's some goofy stuff going on out there. I know there's some real stuff, some fake stuff. And I also know this, we can't sort through it. But God already knows. Sean Hannity's not going to help you. Rush Limbaugh's not going to help you. Your grandma's pictures of angels and, little NIV verses ain't going to help you. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, getting away from this world, getting a hold of Him, and letting Him get a hold of you and give you and me a renewing of the mind. Christians shouldn't be going nuts. We should be able to say, God, help me. Help me put things in perspective. Help me not to waste what you've given me. Help me not to die in a panic. Give me reasonable things to do to keep myself on the right track physically, spiritually, financially, because there's a battle going on in my mind. And He's the only one that can fix it. Father, we love You and we thank You for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank You so much for this Bible also, Lord. And Lord, here we are in the storms of Babylon. Help us, Lord. Give us a renewing of the mind that we wouldn't get caught up and sidetracked and stuff that we can't do anything about anyway, Lord. Help us to be focused on You, make reasonable decisions to keep ourselves and our family safe. And Lord, give us the heart and the mind to unplug from all the junk for a while and get with You and get that new mind You want us to have. Refocused. Re-strengthened. reorganize, Lord. We can put things where they should be. Put our focus where it should be. Lord, you could call us out today. I don't know. You could take us out one by one through the undertaker. I don't know. However you see fit, Lord, I just ask you to strengthen us, give us a renewing of the mind, and we'd leave in your will for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.